There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Hello and welcome to the Bite Size Business Breakfast. This is our daily podcast that brings together the very best bits of today's show from Wednesday, the 25th of March.
Well, that's what we want to see everybody doing, and that is what the Dubai Chamber is really pressing in a new campaign that has just been launched. Hashtag Be Safe, Work Smart. The Dubai Chamber is calling on the private sector to let its workers work from home. To basically, if you don't need the physical presence of your employees, and let's be honest about whether or not we actually do, they should immediate effect be asking them to work from home. That is the message from His Excellency Hamad Bouayman, who is the President and CEO of the Dubai Chamber of Commerce and Industry.
The global situation around the coronavirus is in a critical phase, and here in Dubai, we are not immune. The government is doing everything possible to ensure our safety. As the business community, we have an important role to play in supporting and contributing to these efforts. We must act responsibly and together. Protect your staff. Let them work from home. If we work together, we can maintain our safety and business continuity. Let's act now. Be safe. Work smart. Stay home.
And you know what? This is something that we wholeheartedly agree with here on the Business Breakfast, because we've had messages, haven't we, Tom, all week from employees. I mean, I wouldn't call it a flood, but I would call it a definite
stream,
maybe
river,
isthmus. I don't know. Listen.
That's a geography basis.
We have had people getting in touch with us to say that they want to work from home, but that their employer isn't having it. We've had IT salespeople saying that they're still being asked to go and have sales meetings. We have had office-based people saying, look, my head office isn't here. And they've told us that it's in another country. They've told us we still have to keep turning up to the office. I don't want to rock the boat at the moment because, you know, I want to keep a job. What Mr. Bouayman is saying is, come on, you know what the government's saying. The government is saying, stay home, let your employees stay home.
Mm. It throws into question what is essential, what is not essential. And I know that this is definition that's being discussed the world over at the moment. But it also is part and parcel of the approach from the UAE authorities to, obviously, first priority is to flatten the curve and to stop the spread of the coronavirus. But at the same time, there is this understanding that the infrastructure of the city needs, or the emirates of a whole, needs to continue. And therefore, essential workers are maintaining that, be it health workers, be it those maintaining the Diwa electricity plants, be it those keeping law and order on our streets. Essential workers, these are the people that can't do, you know, you can't generate a Diwa turbine from your front room while having Netflix on. You've got to be there to maintain the power that is keeping Netflix on for so many people, etc. So how on earth do you find that definition? That seems to be the issue for a lot of people at the moment. Am I an essential worker? Am I not an essential worker? You'll be told if you will. That's the whole thing. And if you feel that you're not, then have that conversation with your boss. That's something that we've been trying to implore. And I know that's so much easier
to say. It's easy to say, isn't it?
It's easy to say, especially as people have said, come on, you know, it's just you just appreciate having a job at the moment, don't you?
Yeah, and that's why I think Mr. Bouayman is targeting businesses here. He's not targeting the employees. He's targeting the people who employ them to say that they need to act with responsibility and professionalism to protect their employees and actually to ensure business continuity, because you want everybody to be healthy and well and to take care of them. The decision-making, we know, isn't necessarily from, you know, the people who are asking to work from home. It's from the people who have the power to make that decision in different organisations. And Hamad Bouayman very much saying something that we here at the Business Breakfast agree with is that, you know, if you run a company, do you really actually need to see the people sitting there in front of you?
That's the onus, isn't it? The onus has got to go to senior management. It's got to go to those to make the decision and filter that decision down to everyone within the organisation.
I mean, I saw a brilliant line on, and I actually don't even know if I saw it on Twitter or if it came out from a world leader, but it basically said, if you need to ask yourself, oh, do I need to do X? Do I need to be in the office? Do I need to go to the supermarket? Am I allowed to meet with just one other person? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? If you have to ask yourself the question, is this okay? It's probably not right now.
Mm.
Rule of thumb.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing I think as well that we're seeing here is a lot of people are – it's the fact that it differs country to country. And you can't help but compare and contrast here because you've got a nation, the United Arab Emirates, made up of over 200 different nationalities. And therefore, everyone's looking back to their home governments and seeing what they're being put in place. I was looking at the essential workers list in the UK yesterday. Obviously, UK was put into lockdown yesterday. It was their first day of lockdown. Judging by some of the pictures coming out of London, it wasn't really enforced. Just how strict and stringent do a country like the UK get when it comes to that? But the list itself was interesting because, yeah, supermarkets were on there. Yeah, pharmacies were on there. Laundrettes, dry cleaners, petrol stations.
Petrol, yes.
Petrol stations, yeah. News agents.
Debatable.
What were the other ones on there? It was just a long list.
Curly Whirly and a copy of the Times.
Curly Whirly. It just sort of, it was one of those ones going, but are they essential? Can we? I'm pretty sure we could get away without news agents, couldn't we? A
couple of weeks, yeah. I'm having a look. I mean, you say you're looking to the UK. I've obviously been looking to New Zealand. 2 hours ago, my Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, stood up and said a couple of things that I thought were quite poignant, what we're talking about, the whole work from home thing. She said, and New Zealand's locking down tonight, which is morning, sort of afternoonish our time, for 4 weeks. You might not be at work, but that doesn't mean you don't have a job. Your job is to save lives, and you do that by staying home and breaking the chain. And this was her advice. Act like you have COVID-19 and that every move you make is a risk to someone else. She said that's how we need to think from now on. Mm. Even if you don't have it, if you just pretend that you do and you act as though you were contagious and stay at home and mindful of that,
nice.
That's how we break the chain, which I really liked. I mean, the big lockdown as well in terms of just population-wise is India in lockdown from midnight last night for the next 21 days. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi says it's to help India to keep everyone and their families safe. And he has also said just do not leave your house.
ध्यान से सुनिए, पूरे देश में आज रात 12 बजे से संपूर्ण लॉकडाउन होने जा रहा है. हिंदुस्तान को बचाने के लिए, हिंदुस्तान के हर नागरिक को बचाने के लिए, आपको बचाने के लिए, आपके परिवार को बचाने के लिए.
Governments around the world, all different versions, but the same message, is it not?
Exactly that. I mean, this is the story that I've been. I mean, kudos to India for acting so swiftly at the moment. The potential of a significant outbreak is obviously something that everyone is very concerned about, specifically within India. But the fact that they've taken such drastic measures so quickly is to be commended. It's got to be said. I mean, when you look at the scale of this one, 1.34 billion people under lockdown for 21 days. This is the second most populous country in the world. It's the fifth biggest economy with trade connections all over the world. You can imagine the voices that are commentating and the decision-making process going on there, the difficult decisions to be made. Because they've got 492 confirmed cases to date, 9 deaths at the last count as well, which in the grand scheme of some of the things we're talking about around the world, would a lot of people go, well, why are they taking such drastic decisions? But I think we've all learned, have we not, that early intervention and early drastic measures makes for a quicker recovery.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
News coming out from Majid Al Futtaim that it is reskilling and redeploying more than 1,000 employees from its leisure businesses, which are, for obvious reasons, closed at the moment. Things like the cinemas, things like Ski Dubai and Magic Planet, moving them into the Carrefour food business. So pleased to be joined on the line now by Cameron Mitchell, the CEO at Vox Cinemas for Majid Al Futtaim. Cameron, good morning. It's great to speak to you.
Good morning.
Tell us what you're doing at Majid Al Futtaim and tell us how you're doing it.
Sure. So we saw, obviously, with the progressive shutting down of sort of entertainment venues across the region, we saw an opportunity to better support, you know, our partner company, sister company, Carrefour, who has seen, obviously, a massive sort of increase in demand over the last few weeks. Since February, Carrefour has had a 50% increase in online sales and, obviously, massive demand in their stores as well. So we have, you know, 1,000 staff from our Vox Cinemas business, Magic Planet, Ski Dubai business that have been, you know, retrained, redeployed to Carrefour to support and ensure that we can keep up with demand and ensure we can keep the shelves stocked.
How do you actually go about doing it? Is it voluntary for staff? Talk me through the logistics.
Yeah, so it is. So what we've done is, obviously, as we progressively shut down the leisure businesses, because we had so many staff with nothing to do who were otherwise housebound, we gave them the opportunity to go and work with Carrefour. So we spoke to the different teams, and obviously the choice of sitting at home and being housebound sounds great, but after a day or two, isn't that attractive? They went to their nearest Carrefour stores. They were retrained in health and safety and all the different requirements from either a physical store or some of our, you know, dark stores and online stores, and then redeployed for the last sort of 10 days.
And what's the staff reaction been to that?
It's been great, actually. There's a great video that's circulating on social media at the moment that the team are seeing that it's a great opportunity to learn new skills, to support the company that's obviously supporting them in a very challenging time. And also, we hope to see over time that perhaps it may tempt some of these teams to sort of advance their careers with Carrefour. In the businesses I oversee alone, in entertainment, last year I think we promoted 350 people between different other operating companies as we expanded and grew. And I think this will be the same kind of opportunity for the teams to, you know, progress a career with Carrefour if they see fit.
So where are you seeing the biggest demand for more people in that Carrefour network? I know that you are more on the cinema side, but it also sounds like those lines are blurring. Where in the chain do you need more people?
So we've had the biggest increase online. So as I said, a 50% increase this month from, you know, our daily sales in February, which is obviously significant. There's been strong demand in the UAE, also Saudi Arabia, Oman, Bahrain, different countries. We're supporting in Egypt as well. So it's across the Majid Al Futtaim spectrum, but anywhere we can support and where Carrefour needs support, we're offering that. So it will sort of increase and decrease over time as demand arises, as we see sort of how this sort of pans out in the weeks ahead.
Are you expecting to see the online orders increasing as opposed to the store visits now that we're seeing the malls shut? I know the supermarkets are staying open, but obviously people's habits are going to change drastically.
Yeah, we are seeing sort of initially there was a big spike in store sales. But then when people realised how sort of seamless the online experience is, we've seen that adopted more so than ever. And I think it's going to be one of the interesting things that comes out of this crisis is that long-term habits are going to change because people realise that it's just as easy to order at home and have it delivered, you know, same day or the next day to them. I think it's really going to change sort of habits over the longer term.
I've seen Hany Weiss quoted recently saying that, in fact, I think in Arabian Business this morning, Hany saying that you are transforming bits of the supermarket that maybe weren't your busiest in some stores into fulfillment centres. Are we seeing Majid Al Futtaim ordering or buying more trucks, more sort of delivery paraphernalia, if you like?
Yeah, look, I think we obviously at Majid Al Futtaim, we've been, you know, focused on sort of a seamless sort of on the experience for some time. And I know Carrefour was one of the early adopters. So I don't necessarily think that we've had an immediate need to sort of increase sort of delivery trucks and whatever else. I think the need was to sort of, you know, we more so got closer to sort of capacity. Whereas before, again, people were sort of didn't really see the need to order online. Now they realise how convenient it is. And I think they're, again, adopted rather than sort of, you know, first of all, the government advice is not to go out. But then when it's so easy to not go out and to be able to still order whatever you like from home, I think people will, change habits.
And that includes popcorn, doesn't it, Cameron?
Yeah, it does, absolutely. So we have, we've obviously been selling Vox Cinemas sort of products through all the delivery platforms for some time. We've seen a massive spike, obviously, over the last few weeks. So it's something that, again, is interesting for us. You can be sitting at home watching a video or thinking about, obviously, when you're going to come back and see us in our stores and still be enjoying Vox popcorn or nachos or an extended range of our normal food and beverage.
Cameron Mitchell, CEO of Vox Cinemas for Majid Alfatame. Thank you so much for joining us on The Business Breakfast this morning.
Thank you.
Catch up on the business headlines with The Bite-Sized Business Breakfast. The Business Breakfast's Pick of the Papers.
Right, let's have a look at some news that's got everybody talking this morning. The TRA, the Telecommunications Regulatory Authority, have said in light of what is happening around the world, I'm paraphrasing, but we all know what I'm talking about. And in order to support distance learning and people working from home, the TRA, working with Etisalat and Do, are letting a lot of applications become available until further notice. And they are largely the applications that have been asked for. They're the ones we're all using, Microsoft Teams, Zoom and Blackboard. They will be available on pretty much all networks, which means basically when you're out about rather than when you're around Wi-Fi. Over Wi-Fi, so fixed internet networks, we have Microsoft Skype for Business and Google Hangouts. And that list is going to be reviewed.
A couple of things that caught my eye on this. One, trying to calm our children down when I told them. I said, hey, whoa, never in our time has a story from the business pages or the technical pages of wherever been greeted by such elation by three children in the Urquhart household, which showed to me, obviously, great utensil and tool for business at the moment and needed. But at the same time, the way that young generations are communicating with each other and the fact that they've been looking for ways around this for quite some time, suddenly to have it available to them, which then begs the second question, which is Skype for Business. Now, if most businesses are being done from home at the moment, does that mean that your Skype account, by the very nature of stay at home and work from home, is at home? And is there a differentiation between the two?
Having a look at Skype for Business, it is part of the Microsoft Office suite. It is designed for use with a special server, but presumably that has to have been taken into account if we are not at work. And in fact, I can see in the Office products that you can, and I quote, download Skype for Business apps across all your devices, mobile, tablet, desktop. Mobile, by its very nature, would suggest that you were not just using that in the office. No?
Well, yeah.
I think what we're taking here is that, and I am so guessing, by the way, which is one something you always want to hear from a radio presenter, don't you? Fabulous. Is that it's not necessarily the normal download Skype. Oh, maybe it is. Do you know what? Don't even listen to me.
What we can do is throw it out to listeners out there, because there will be those who are well invested in this industry and will be those who have welcomed this news with open arms. What is the difference between Skype? Being good citizens, Brandy and myself, we've never used it. Now it is now available to us all, we will try our best to do so. But it'd be interesting to see what the differentiations are, because surely if you've got Skype for business purposes and you're running your business from home, does that not therefore mean that you might just press the wrong number and speak to your auntie rather than a supplier?
So I'm asking Google because, for goodness sakes, when I don't know, Google generally does. It seems that Skype for Business, comes from Microsoft in terms of it being part of its, you know, bigger Office offering. It allows you to have a huge amount. It's basically Skype plus a communications platform called Link, L-Y-N-C, that Microsoft already owned, being brought together to make something that's a bit more businessy than your average Skype. The main differences are you have an administrator. If you've been using Zoom recently, you probably recognize that. You can have larger conference calls and meetings, 250 people on a single meeting rather than 25, which is the limit for normal Skype. And it all integrates with Office and Office 365 and all the rest of it. There's also Skype for Business Plan. So this is the other thing. I suspect that you may need to pay for it. Mm. I'm looking on an American website, but they're talking at $2 a month for basic features and then $5.50 for more features, including the ability to record audio and transfer various files. Or you can get Skype for Business as part of a larger Office 365 plan for small businesses. So presumably then you get licenses per user.
Yeah. And again, you know how that line that you mentioned earlier about this is a list that we will review at regular moments. I mean, that's obviously something that they're going to say, the TRA and other regulators at the moment. But it is a needs must. And I know that's a phrase that is often used these days, and we probably use it far too much. But it is a needs must in these, again, another phrase that we use all the time, unprecedented times, in order to keep business going with... I mean, it's just simple, isn't it? When you think about the fact that you've got two working parents potentially at home, three kids, all distance learning from home, the impact on the network as a whole is going to need to be alleviated. So different platforms is going to do that.
Yeah, and again, and I'm trawling through the internet, PCWorld.com informs me this morning very easily what's the difference between Skype and Skype for Business. Skype is free, but Skype for Business will cost you. Online plans, again, the basics for smaller companies, $2 a user a month with an annual contract.
That's just one of the developments. I mean, can I put that down? Can I put that on the list of silver linings for coming out of...
Do you know what? I'm just all up for cheerfulness this morning, regardless. I am just all up for a bit of cheerfulness.
I can give you a bit of cheerfulness if you want. The fact that one of the stories to come out of, or the benefits to come out of, the coronavirus problem is the fact that supermarkets have been graced the opportunity to stay open 24/7. So no longer, and I know that you have very unsociable hours, Brandy Scott, with your day job. So should you find yourself craving green tea at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can go and get it now. That's not to say, this is just to reiterate that basically this is a mandate that came out overnight from the UA's Ministry of Health and Prevention and the National Emergency and Crisis and Disasters Management Authority, I think we need an acronym for them, saying yesterday that food retail outlets, including cooperative societies, grocery stores, supermarkets and pharmacies, basically the essential retail outlets that will be staying open from today forward, whilst everything else closes in malls, etc., they're permitted to remain open 24/7 during the coronavirus outbreak, with that being the opportunity for people to obviously plan their time with regards to when they go to. And it throws up questions, doesn't it? And we have so many questions at the moment. We'll do all we can to answer your question. If you've got any questions with regards to coronavirus, throw them our way, 4001. But questions being, okay, cool.
And we'll Google the answers?
We can try and Google that, but equally, you know, scenarios. Look at the scenario. If you go, okay, I've run out of milk and it's 1 o'clock in the morning. So if we go out to a supermarket at 1 o'clock in the morning to pick up milk, is that therefore deemed to be against the sort of mandate of social distancing? Because it's not that essential, is it? You could wait. But the fact that the supermarket's open 24 hours...
I would also argue that you're less likely to see other people at 1 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, but I would... It's almost this whole thing of social distance shaming at the moment. I would feel bad about going out at that sort of time of day because it would seem that, oh, look, you know, Tom's out buying his essentials.
Whooping it up
when he should
in
be
the
staying
dairy
at home,
aisle.
When he should be staying at home. And there he is, you know, lurking in the toilet roll aisle.
He
Stay off the toilet roll.
But maybe, and again, this is something we'll get clarification from, not just with the team, the producers here, but also the Air Red News team, is this is a mandate for the supermarkets and pharmacies, who I know are working tirelessly, and we're going to talk about this a little later on with guests, on their delivery platforms to deliver 24 hours a day rather than to limit themselves to certain delivery times during the day. We will wait and see.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast.
Today I don't feel like doing anything. I just want to lay in my bed. Don't feel like picking up my phone. So leave a message.
Yeah. Is that how you felt? A little earlier this morning? Is that how you're still feeling at the moment? Have you got up yet? Is everyone still in bed? Is that one of the benefits or the pitfalls of remote working at present? Amazing how things are changing so rapidly at the moment. Just a couple of weeks ago, there I was on the agenda talking about work-life balance. In fact, we were all talking about work-life balance. Well, throw that out the window all of a sudden, because things are changed. Is this the new norm? The novel coronavirus has been a boon for the growing work-from-home trend. Literally taking millions, nay, billions of people into remote workers almost overnight as companies seek to continue operations amid the global pandemic. But while that's saving certain industries from certain doom, it may not be a positive move for workers. Let's get some more take on this one, if we can, with the consultant clinical psychologist, the American Centre for Psychiatry and Neurology, right here in Dubai. Dr. David Lee joins us live on the line. David, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tom.
Are we all suited to work from home? It's nothing new, remote working. More and more people have been doing it in recent times. Now we're all being forced to do it. Is that one of the risks at the moment, David?
Well, it's nothing new, Tom, but we have to remember that it is new to some people, you know, and certainly we're not used to experiencing it in the current context. So multiple challenges at the minute. You know, some people do work from home. Some people spend some of the time at home and some of the time in the office. But of course, you know, what we're facing at the minute is kind of new, very unique challenges. So we find ourselves in uncertain times with, you know, a lot to contend with. It's not just the issue of, you know, being used to the environment of being in the home and trying to be productive. We've got multiple challenges at the minute.
People are being asked to do their bit and isolate. With that comes isolation. With that comes a change of routine. And with that, unfortunately, comes a lack of or the removal of social interactions for the main part, which could potentially lead to depression and other mental health issues. Is that something we need to be very, very aware of at the moment?
It is something that we need to be aware of, yeah, for multiple reasons. I mean, there's the social isolation factor that you mentioned there. Now, one way to counteract that, whichever way you look at it, is that we now have available to us, you know, the means of online communication, 24/7 communication, which in this context is a good thing. It's helping to keep us socially connected. You know, people are talking about social distancing. Don't really like that term. I like, you know, the idea of physical distancing. We need to do that at the minute. But we should be trying to stay socially connected, you know, as best as we can with our families, with our friends, with other people, reaching out. Of course, at the minute, the other factor is people are worrying a lot. So people are very pessimistic about the future. There's a lot of uncertainty here. But I believe that actually staying connected with others is a really good antidote to that, because it's a way of kind of checking out, you know, are my thoughts on this, are they unrealistic? Am I blowing things out of proportion? Am I catastrophizing? Good to stick together during these times, and really, really important, as you say there, for alleviating, you know, depressive symptoms and trying to, you know, stay hopeful and stoical during these times.
Obviously, everyone's situations are different, but I've seen a number of circumstances where mum, dad and kids are all under one roof at the moment. Kids are remote learning. Mum and dad are remote working at the moment as well. How have you got any tips of how we maintain that balance? We're so focused on trying to create the balance between life and family, or work life and family life. How do you do it when you're all under the same roof?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I mean, it is a challenge, isn't it? It's a unique challenge. We're not used to, you know, doing it to this extent, to trying to balance everything, our own work, you know, looking after the children, trying to get them, you know, being homeschooled now, online learning. So, yeah, new and unique challenges. What is really important during these times is to be realistic with our expectations, to exercise self-compassion, going easy on ourselves. You know, lots of my clients at the minute are really struggling with this, you know, because they're really pushing themselves to, you know, to have it all right. But these are new challenges. I mean, we need to kind of try to demarcate our boundaries. We need to have a cutoff time when we down tools, we stop working, we spend some time together as a family, you know, when the kids finish schooling. So I think we need to attend to our boundaries in a way, because those boundaries are not already kind of demarcated for us. We're not leaving the home, we're not going into the office, so we're having to put structure on our day ourselves. That's really, really important, Tom.
I just want to get some more thoughts from you, if I can, on productivity, because we were speaking a little bit earlier on to Hazel Jackson from the Biz Group. She was talking about, you know, we're quite used to working out productivity by seeing people in the office, seeing that they're working, seeing that things are going on. How do we remain productive from within our own four walls at home? Have you got any sort of pointers that you can point us in the right direction of how we can increase or maintain that productivity?
Yeah, I mean, at a very basic kind of behavioural level, I think it's a lot about trying to, again, you know, coming back to these boundaries, time boundaries. We have to remember there's a lot of worry going on yeah. at the minute for us, a lot of uncertainty. So what we have to do is be easy on ourselves, but have realistic expectations. If we can work for periods of time and then take a break, then come back to work, you know, try to get tasks done, try to use to-do lists, try to be very proactive, tick things off the list, you know, but be realistic about your expectations as well. Some of the things, you know, we're really compromised on because we're not in the office. We don't have available the means to us that we might use have available. So we need to be very, very clear. I also really believe in the idea of connecting with our values at these times as well. So, you know, if we can work in such a way and, you know, live our lives in our relationships with our family in line with what our core values are, even though we're stuck indoors, even though we're not going out at the minute, we can still try to live our lives, you know, in line, take action in line with what we really value.
Stay positive. It's a good mantra, quite right too as well. Dr. David Lee, always nice to chat to you, David. Thank you so much indeed for your time. Enjoy, and we'll speak very soon.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.